Yeah. Yes, sir, Mr. President.
They had some suggestion that I call long on that building down there. But I didn't do it because, no, I cannot be in a position to be such a yacker that they've indicated that I might veto something.
Oh, no.
It's a bad political issue. The average person thinks, well, look, I would be doing it for better reasons. And money isn't going to make the difference this year.
No, and I strongly recommended against that call. I don't know whether that got through to you, but one of you called me, and I said, no, the president should not make that call.
I'm not going to do it. I didn't call him.
Several reasons, actually. Stennis, get Laird to call Stennis, and he may turn around and get Stiles turned.
They aren't going to, when are they going to vote tonight?
No, they've already voted, sir. But there'll be a motion to strike, apparently, tomorrow. And
the vote is over. It's 49 to what?
I was close. It was pretty straight partisan line, so I don't...
Motion to strike, when?
Well, they're going to make a motion tomorrow to strike that provision, the dollar checkoff provision.
That's Wilbur Mills, to no surprise of anybody, surprise everybody except me, will of course take it.
Of course he will.
He's going to play a purely partisan line.
Well,
here.
He has no choice, Mr. President. If he wants to be a credible Democratic candidate, he's damn well not going to be the guy that doesn't give them their
$8 million.
Their $8 million bucks or $20 million.
Let me say this. No, $8 million for their deficit.
Right, to pay off
the point is, the whole idea that we win elections, there's a myth that we win them because of money. They're always for it. That's bullshit.
Of course it's bullshit.
1968, in 60 we were outspent. As you know, Kennedy outspent us.
Yeah.
In 1968, Kennedy outspent us. I mean, Humphrey did in the last 3 weeks.
Exactly.
And we were outspent, and I had to work like hell to try to rectify it.
Well, I talked with Conley this afternoon about how to frustrate that bill.
He thinks he can do it. I'm not sure of that, but
well,
I hope he can.
I think we can. For one thing, all the tax returns for next year, the forms are printed, and there's no way you can call them back. So what you would do is send a special bulletin out saying that if you want to do this, indicate it on your tax return, and then the administrative complications would be horrendous. And I think the Congress might very well do exactly what it did before, and that is repeal it, because it's just...
Did it repeal it before?
Yes, sir. In 63, Long got it through, and then early in 64, I think I'm right on the years, the House, in a very unusual action, voted to suspend the provisions of it, so it's on the books indefinitely suspended. It's a very curious episode, but we went through this with the Christmas tree bill that Long had, I think, 1963. So Conley isn't worried about it. He said, for one thing, partisans aren't going to check it off because they know then that a certain percentage of their dollar is going to go to somebody they don't want. And he didn't feel that it would be
obviously the Republicans checking off.
Or the other way. We might let the Republicans know that you're not going to contribute to the Democrats. In other words, both parties might end up discouraging it, which would cause it to fall of its own weight. And it could work either way.
Well, anyway, we're not going to get that much involved.
I don't think you should.
Let them fight the dandy, but I'm not going to get in that position of calling us wrong.
Well, I thought that was a very poor idea. I did agree with the recommendation that Mitchell get Laird to call.
When he's done, we'll try to find Laird.
If we can turn that around, fine. But there's... Well, I don't... The only reason I would call Russell Long is if they thought a call might do it, well, it won't. But it won't.
Conley's all set. I had a good talk with him. He's very upbeat and satisfied.
God, he's great. I'm glad you called him because... I appreciate that. I spent an hour with him and I put it very low key.
I know.
And it was best to
but
do it.
I did. He's all set. And there's the way to do it.
Next week, it's Conley week.
He'll hit it hard.
Well, he'll be good. And, I was most encouraged at the end of the conversation. Of course, he's a great politician. He came over and he said, I want to sit down with a few of you fellows who really understand politics. And he said, I think that we really can do some more good, tough, nut-cutting stuff for the president. And he said, we just got to get more political. He said, I want to sit down with some of you guys who understand what I'm talking about. And then he went through three or four things.
Right.
The fact that he's thinking that way, I just love it. And he told me four or five of the things he has in his mind. And I'll tell you, we can benefit from learning a little bit about how the Democrats play the game.
Right.
They don't. They take the gloves off. And,
up and our people are just a bunch of people.
He's absolutely convinced that he made that point. And I told him about the Scali briefing at the cabinet meeting. He just,
what did he
say? Oh, God, he did it. Thank God he did it. He did it.
Well, the cabinet people, Rogers, infuriated. New York, but goddammit, they had it coming.
Well, Rogers was infuriated, but then he called me afterwards, about 2 days later, and he said, you know, I think Scully was right. So that, it sunk in on him, and Bill is, Bill means well. He just needs his spine. Stiff on the back, though. It was ironic. You know,
and it is a lousy captain.
Absolutely ironic.
Oh, it really is.
Well, it is from the standpoint of it. They're good managers.
Wonderful man. Very good, decent, honorable, honest man. And not worth a goddamn political education.
Needless to say, Mr. President, I didn't raise anything that we talked about on the chairmanship with Conley. He raised it with me, and I almost thought, my God, this is mental telepathy, or else he eavesdropped on our conversation. He said, you know, we really need somebody who will go out there and fight. He said, I hope you'll... hope you fellows are aware that you need more strength there. I said, God, they're going to get it.
I don't think the fellow will ever,
they handle it. I think if he were approached right, he can. Mitchell can't approach him because they don't get along, but I think that, I think Alderman could do that. I really do. Well, anyway, Conley, obviously I didn't see it, but Conley brought it up and I was amazed. He also brought up, he said, let me see how good a politician you are, Chuck. He said, I think you're pretty good, but let me see how good. Who's going to be the opponent next year? I said, Kennedy. He said, you're absolutely right. He's apparently convinced of that.
Yeah.
Well, I just got the retail sales for last week, Mr. President.
They're good, huh?
Up 4% over the week before, a total of $8.6 billion, 17% ahead of last year. One of the biggest weeks in record.
So it must be something. Going
it's
right.
It's just the same point. Kind
funny
of
thing, though, that you look at the market today, it dropped off a little. But now they paid no attention to that. And apparently, our poor fellow passer didn't get it across. He couldn't do it
on the GNT.
Yeah,
the wires played beautifully on it, but it was.
But you see, it had no effect on the market.
No, of course, the market was it was up at noon and it drifted off during the day. As we've said, I'd pay no attention for a little while to that.
I agree.
And let's watch these retail sales. If this keeps going, Conley had exactly the same feeling. He said the consumer, the mood across this country is great.
And he feels it is, I know.
Oh, he said, look, Chuck, as soon as people stop wringing their hands among the sophisticates,
that's right.
This thing's going to take off and be out of everybody's control. So he thinks the way I do, that the bellwether are going to be the consumers. We put a little more money in their pockets with this tax bill, and it'll just go like gangbusters, and that's all we need. Schultz and I have sent you a memo, Mr. President, that addresses what happened down there this afternoon and suggests a little language to you. It just analyzes the resolution that the AFL-CIO adopted. Schultz had not seen it when he talked to you earlier. Now that we've seen it, we have a couple of thoughts for you that we...
You think I should address myself to it?
To their resolution?
Yeah.
Well, yes, sir. Just answering the point that what they said, in effect, was that they would stay on the board so long as they got what they wanted, but that they might have to drop out if they didn't, and they wouldn't encourage cooperation. And Schultz and I both feel that you should simply make the point that we are succeeding, we are doing this for all the American people. We want everybody to participate. We want the participation of all groups. But whether they participate or not, we're going to make it succeed. And otherwise, it looks like he hit an ultimatum, laid an ultimatum down, and we didn't respond to it. But you'll see in this memo why we think hitting that one point might be very important. I'll put it another way. Ignoring the point might be misinterpreted. It's he didn't say anything new that he hadn't said before, but it's the context in which he said it that George and I feel if you can do it, and, you know best whether it can fit in. But it's a point that maybe should not be ignored. I've read Meany's full speech. God, he's a witty fellow. He apparently did not. There's not much partisan ire. I've just been hearing from our guys down there, Cashin down there. He said they're not really. There isn't that support for me. There's not the angry feeling at all. And, on a showman-like performance today and got a lot of laughs, but not a hell of a lot of applause. And the feeling down there is still that you're going to be very well received, so.
Oh, well, I don't care about that. I don't quite know how to take this thing on.
Sure, that's good. Well, you have
well, to I'll take a look.
Take a look, and if it fits, it's the argument is for
the idea being that we'll go forward regardless whether you drop out or not.
Right. See, in effect, what Meany has done today is to lay an ultimatum down. He has said it's going to go forward, but on our terms only. And then the next day, the President of the United States comes and has to say it's going to go forward whether business, labor, or any interest group wants to participate. We're committed to our objective of reducing inflation and creating employment. And we're going to do it for the benefit of all the American people. We want everybody to participate, but if they can't, we're going to win our battle against inflation, and we're going to create jobs. And in effect, that's an answer to it.
Yeah.
Okay. But you can see how it flows when you read it.
Good.
Have a good trip, Mr. President.